Howdy, folks. Welcome to Solve This. I'm your host, Widget Walls, and this is a podcast slash panel show slash improv emporium for needcoffee.com. Now, I don't have to tell you, the world is a complicated place, and everywhere you turn, wall-to-wall problems and conflicts. You don't need another show about them. You need a show that will provide a plethora of solutions in a short amount of time. So, to that end, we have a panel of four expert problem solvers with us here today. They'll be working out a variety of different problems that I will be giving them, and they will receive points based on creativity, ingenuity, originality, and abnormality. Now, let's meet our panel. Now, because their knowledge and experience is so very broad, I'm going to ask them to share with us one of their more esoteric areas of expertise, one which may or may not get used very often. So, first up, let's go with podcasting addict, filmmaker, blogger, and assistant Ober Capo at the website of Doom. It's Aaron Poole. Hello, Aaron.
Hello. It's far too many titles, but I like it.
I know. Well, I mean, that's why your business card is so very large. Now, Aaron, what's an area of knowledge you have that might not occur to our listeners as a regular field of study?
Well, I actually study fields, which may be unusual to most people. It's a level of greenness that has to be understood. I think being from Ireland, I'm specifically educated in that sort of area. But yes, I study fields themselves. So my fields are my fields of expertise.
Your field is fieldology in a way.
Yes. Or fieldonomics as well. It depends on which way you want to approach it.
Oh, yes.
Which is usually through a fence.
Or hopefully a gate.
Yes.
Yes.
Remember to close it behind you, folks, though.
That's important.
It's an important rule.
All right. Secondly, we have Need Coffee's own artist in residence and helper of many. It's Rox of Spaz House. Hello, Rox.
Hello.
Hello. Now, Rox, surely you must have an area of expertise that many would consider a rarity.
It is. I study spindles in banisters. You know, how they're turned, how they're lathed, how the oldness, especially older homes, homeowners would spend the money to actually have spindles in the banisters and in railings on how well and how ornate they could be. Now they're plain and simple. But back in the old days, you hired people that would really make things ornate and stuff. So that is, you know, I studied that because, you know, I can only study counterfeiting so long and forgery, you know. So this is sort of an esoteric kind of study of mine.
Very, very much is spindleology. Fascinating.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, moving on, we have next someone else from the website of Doom who contributes content there and hosts the podcast Mars Needs Podcast. It's JJ Hawkins. Hi, JJ.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Now, JJ, in your cavalcade of wisdom, what sticks out as one of the more odder bits of your expertise?
Well, I like to research and answer unanswered questions from songs. So right now I'm working on why exactly fools do fall in love. But the last one I was really working on, and that was why birds suddenly appear every time you're near. And what I found out in Dragon Con, for instance, Uwidge, the reason birds appear when you're near is because your beard is made out of 25% millet.
I wish you had told me at the time, because that would explain why I have all the droppings everywhere I go. Yeah. But I appreciate knowing that now, at least. Okay, well, moving on. Last but not least, we welcome to the show the geek-in-chief at the Unique Geek website, podcaster, and technician. For most of the AV bits of madness we have here on Need Coffee, it's John Boutel. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you doing, Witch?
I'm doing great, thanks. Now, John, what's an area for you that's on the stranger side of things when it comes to your knowledge?
You know, it's funny because Aaron has asked me in the time that we've known each other what it is that I actually do. And very few people know this. I actually study dry erase markers, or DEMs, as I like to call them. I study the smell, how fast they dry out, what various colors, how fast they dry out, what appropriate colors are usable for what particular instances. And in fact, I am a consultant for major corporations such as IBM and Cisco, the wrapper, not the actual, you know, routing company.
Of course.
And we do all their purchasing and research for dry erase markers.
That's fascinating. So these are DEMs, you said.
Yeah, I researched Dem.
Yeah. So at those companies, is your title demigod, perhaps?
Well, demigod consultant.
Hmm.
Sometimes, when I'm playing with Dem, people think that I'm just, you know, being immature, you know, I'm using Dems to write on the boards, but, in fact, I'm actually doing creative study.
Mm, fantastic. All right. Well, now we've introduced the panel. So now I would like everyone at home to say hi panel, just like they would if they were here and they could see the sign I was holding up prompting them to do so. Now the warm-ups are over. It's time to solve the problem that is round one. Now, this is a quick-fire round. I will offer up a problem to each of you in turn, and you simply respond with a sensible, as much as you can manage, solution. So, Aaron, we'll start with you. Aaron, your problem is, to solve this, you find yourself standing under the mistletoe with a camel.
Okay. all right. Well, first of all, I would be fine. Because camels, as we all know, are Jewish. So they don't really kind of obey Christmas traditions as much as the rest of us might. But there is always that awkward conversation that you have to have in terms of theological debate. Because, you know, if I go in for the kiss and then realize too late that the camel does not want to kiss me because of their Judaism, I have to quickly come back with some sort of reasoning for why I tried to kiss a camel underneath mistletoe. So my best thing that I could come up with was that I thought it was Lady Gaga and just move on. So so that would be my solution for that problem. It would be the claim that the camel is Lady Gaga and hope that they don't mind.
I think the Lady Gaga excuse is going to be used in a lot of situations this holiday season. So I think 3 points for that. Very good. Rox, this one's for you.
Yes.
Okay. A flying saucer has crash landed in your front yard, and it's a mere hour before you were going to show the house to a prospective buyer.
Well, everybody knows aliens are suckers for hard candy. And at Halloween, that's all I give out. You know, the mundane wrappered candy. We tried this at a game convention and it totally worked, that aliens are lured by hard candy, you know, Jolly Ranchers, sort of Tootsie Roll, Tootsie Pops are their number one thing. So from that, it's easy to, considering it's my yard, I believe, it'll be a sculpture. And considering I live in the South, I believe I can get away with paying said aliens as lawn jockeys. And that would enhance the saleability of my house. And if said prospective people come by for the open house, they could, you know, be entertained by the little, you know, alien lawn jockeys.
Okay, excellent. I think we'll go with 2 points and a bonus point for sneaking in Tootsie Roll, so maybe we can get some corporate sponsorship. All right, moving on then. John, this one's for you. John, solve this. You've been invited to meet your girlfriend's father. Turns out, though, he's a giant anteater and wants to give you a hug.
Well, it's very fortunate for me that I actually happen to love anteaters. In fact, little known fact, I when I'm not studying Dems, I am actually studying the mating habits of anteaters. So I know the appropriate way to hug him is not actually to give him a hug, as he will come in as though he wants to hug me.
Mm.
But it is to hold out my hand with honey dripping from it for him to lick. And then he licks the honey. And then I take that and I smear it on my face and then on his daughter's face. And then I go to proceed and lick his daughter's face. Therefore, that's how I get away from that. Because really, you know, that's it.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, does sure, Rox.
Does the anteater sound like Jackie Mason?
Oh, I hope so.
Let's assume. By the way,
that sort of greeting is good for anteaters, not so good for humans. I've tried it in the past, didn't go down well.
Well, I was going to say, I was going to give 2 points to that answer for John, and a bonus point for taking it to a place that, out of all the questions in here, it's probably the one I least expected to get slightly erotic. So, well done. Well done, John.
I do my best.
I know you do. So JJ, finally for you, solve this. Hal won't open the pod bay doors.
Oh, silly, silly Hal. Okay, well, the thing is, you know, you need the pod bay doors open. I mean,
wait, JJ, I'm sorry. I misread that. It's actually Hal Holbrook won't open the pod bay doors. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Well, my apologies. Actually,
that changes things, yes. But that's okay because, you know, the thing that makes it easier to deal with Hal Holbrook as opposed to Hal is Hal Holbrook, you just imagine looks like Mark Twain. And, you know, and Mark Twain, of course, is much easier to deal with because, you know, his name, very name comes from a level of rising water. So, you know, you need the pod bay doors open and you just say, you know, Hal Holbrook, look, this Mark is Twain. We need these doors open. And then, as of course, you know, as every single interaction I've ever had with Hal Holbrook ends up, it's going to end up with, you know, semi-naked pudding wrestling. But I'm pretty sure I can take him.
All right. We'll go with 3 on that as well, simply because I didn't expect Hal Holbrook to go to something erotic. But I just like to point out that extra points for eroticism will end with this round, because every single answer coming back with something erotic will just make this podcast into something that we already have a podcast about. So it turns out at the end of that round, pretty much everyone is tied at 3 points. Now, we'll do another similar round. This time I'm going to give you a problem, but instead of just asking for your solution, I'm also going to provide you with an item which you must somehow incorporate into the solution. So you have the item that you must use somehow. Rox, we'll start with you. Fairly simple one. Your bicycle has a flat tire, but you must use a sheet of bubble wrap.
How big is the sheet?
Big enough.
Okay, oddly enough, I actually know how to fix it with this. You can actually undo, this is real, you can actually do this. You could undo your tire, take it off, and then you have the sheet of bubble wrap, of which, as a person that rides a bike constantly, I always have some form of glue. So if I do not have a patch, I can actually either melt said bubble wrap, because it is a plastic, to this tire, and then just refill it. So that is actually a plausible way of filling a tire up with air that'll get you at least home.
Excellent. I'll give you 3 points for actually being practical, and I'll subtract 1 point from my own score for inadvertently creating a plausible question.
Widge, can I ask a question?
But of course, John.
Rox, so were you saying that the first answer you gave about the aliens wasn't plausible? Because I thought it was completely plausible.
Oh my god, it's so plausible.
No, I mean, I'm giving my appropriate answers, but the actual solutions.
No, let me just say the question plausible. Your answers are all very plausible.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, but of course. All right, so moving on then. JJ, one for you. Your problem to solve, your pet hamster has stopped breathing. The item you must incorporate into your solution, a soup ladle.
Okay. Well, that's actually, you know, it's not that easy, because the problem with, you know, the only way you can really get a hamster breathing again is through mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And of course, the problem being is that when you go to exhale, our lungs are so much bigger than a hamster's lungs that they, you know, when you're just out there, you're just trying to help them. But if you get too excited and trying to help them, you overinflate them and they pop. And nobody really likes a popped hamster. But the nice thing about the soup ladle is, if you put the hamster in the soup ladle, what it does is it gives you a size guide that you do not want to inflate the hamster past this point. And so you know that as you're exhaling and the hamster fills the ladle, you have to stop and let it exhale. And then it helps you time your inflating and deflating the hamster until it just lives a long and happy life.
Okay, excellent. I'll give you 3 points and a bonus point there for actually using the phrase "nobody likes a popped hamster." So, something I didn't think I was going to hear today. All right, so Aaron, moving on to you. Your problem is this: you are drunk and have forgotten your home address. So get home somehow using a haddock.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to object to the blatant racism that's been given, that is shown by giving me this question. But how and whoever, I will rise above it and move along.
So you're saying that because you're Irish, I think you would forget your home address.
Yes, that's exactly it. Okay. No, that I would hold a haddock. Okay, just because we're an island does not mean that we're all fishermen. But how and whoever, yes, we will move on. Well, because I'm Irish, I know a fact that not all people would know, is that haddock are actually homing fish. Now, much like the pigeon, you have to release it, and it will find its own way home through radar and a map on Google Maps. So what you do is you just basically you hold down the haddock to a north-facing wind, throw it as hard as you can, and it will spin midair and then immediately go in the direction of your house. And you just keep following that until you either A, find your home, or B, end up in the water. Because sometimes the haddock forgets which home they're supposed to go to, yours or their own. But either way, you will be definitely traveling in some direction. That is all.
That's excellent. I think 3 points for that, plus a bonus point for the idea that haddocks somehow evolved to use Google Maps and were simply waiting for Google Maps to be invented to coincide with their evolutionary trait.
It's the aliens that live on hard candy that have taught them how to do that.
I believe I read that in a Whitley Strieber book, actually. So I would say yes to that. All right. So, John, last one's for you. Your problem is you're stranded on a desert island. Now, how would your escape include using a bag of marshmallows?
Well, fortunately, I am a scout, so I would eat the marshmallows. Then the buoyancy from the marshmallows that they fill, because if you eat the entire bag, now this is an entire bag of marshmallows, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. Whew. Otherwise, I'm stranded. So you take the bag of marshmallows, you ingest the entire bag, including the bag. This is very important because you need to time this just right. So it will enter your stomach, which will then inflate it, making you incredibly buoyant to the point where you could actually sleep and continue down along the current. Not only that, you have about, if I remember correctly from the Boy Scout manual, you have about 46 days you will live off of that. So you have 46 days to float to the nearest either shipping lane and or civilized location from ingesting the marshmallows. Now, there is a downside to this. There is one downside, which is that if you go anywhere near flame or any sort of major heat source, you will immediately turn toasty and delicious. So that is a problem. But fortunately, if you do that, you can start gnawing on your arm and get another couple of days of life from that. So that's it.
Fascinating. Well, I would say we'll give you 3 points for that. The way I got there was basically 3 points, and then I subtracted a point for inferring that I would be so cruel as to only give you half a bag of marshmallows. But I'm giving you a point back because I like the idea of the human s'more. So 3 points there. So
s'mores.
Indeed. Now, at the end of those rounds, I can tell you that we have Rox and John tied at 12 points, and JJ and Aaron also tied at 14 points. So now, for the next rounds, we're going to need buzzers. And since we are recording this over Skype, it means that buzzing in is a problem. We can't have a buzzing system over the internet, at least not on our budget. But we do have problem solvers here, so I'm sure you've solved this problem by bringing your own buzzers to the game. So I'd like to hear them now. Aaron, what is your buzzer?
There we go.
I'll go with that. All right, excellent. Rox, what is your buzzer? Oh my. I'm awake now. Thank you. John, what is your buzzer? Now, John,
I just lost mine. That's all.
John, what you did there was so very rude. You realize I'm going to have to go back and post and replace it with like a censorship beep.
Oh,
that's all right. That's fine. I can do that. I have a program that does that because that's another problem to be solved. All right. Excellent. And JJ, what is your buzzer?
Why, the doctor's favorite.
Excellent. All right. So moving on to our next round where those buzzers are going to come in handy. It's a not as quick fire round in which players can buzz in on each other's answers. So once the answer is given, give them some time to get going and get it out. You can buzz in for one of three reasons. If you feel there is a problem that your colleague has not foreseen, if you think you have a better altogether solution, or if you can simply argue for why it's not actually a problem in the first place. So here we go. Fingers on whatever's everyone. We'll start with John. John, solve this. You wake up to find a pod next to your bed that appears to be replicating you.
That's interesting because that has actually happened to me one time before. And if I can remember correctly, what I did was I first got up, made myself some breakfast. Then I got up and made myself some breakfast. Then I told my wife that I would be right back and let my pod take over. In the meantime, honestly, can I buzz in on myself?
Oh, sure.
Hold on.
Oh, that's so rude.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's all right.
Fine. Keep going.
Actually, this is not a problem. I don't understand why you're giving this to me as a problem. In fact, having kids, I don't have any free time except to do podcasting, which ironically I do as a pod. So this is actually where the term podcasting came from. It's where adult males have come along that have kids and they just want to replicate themselves out to the internet and have themselves some free time to go someplace else. So it's actually not me doing this podcast. It is my pod doing this podcast, if you understand what I mean.
I do understand.
I don't know. I don't know what I mean because I'm not me. I'm actually elsewhere right now.
I see.
Is
anyone else chiming in? I can't tell.
I've got a question.
Yes, Aaron.
How does your wife like it?
I don't know. Well, sometimes I know. About every third time.
Yes, JJ.
Well, I want to know then, if he has these replicants, how come he works so hard at Dragon Con?
That wasn't me.
Oh.
He's actually at the bar the whole time. We're seeing Pod John.
Well, you know how you thought you saw me everywhere?
Right.
You only saw parts of me everywhere.
I've seen parts of John before.
Yes, Rox.
So is your wife happy?
I believe.
Let me rephrase that. When was the last time you really saw your wife?
Which wife? She too.
Oh, you have. Well, then, do you have the fun wife?
Sounds pretty fun to me, actually.
For reasons I can't explain here, I will say yes.
All right.
Worried the whole podcast has been taken over by pod people. I've devised a test. It involves taking all your blood and a hot wire. And if we could just get everybody together for a minute just so I can calm down.
I think actually you're confusing this with what's supposed to happen on a podcast is you just point and scream. So since
it's a silent scream that nobody can hear.
I know. Well, if you're Donald Sutherland, you can hear it sure as hell. Anyway, yes, Rox.
I was going to say, just to end it all, just dole out hard candy.
That's true. If the pods are aliens, then there you go.
Werther's. The pod people are Werther's hard caramel fans, just so you know.
So they're the guys from Cocoon?
Yes.
Okay. That also means that you're implying.
Yes, they are. It's like, hello, do you want some candy? I'm sorry, it's only Werther's.
Yes, JJ.
Unless it's the first Body Snatchers movie, then they're so old they actually prefer ribbon candy.
Oh, that's their weakness.
All right, well, we'll move on to the next one. I've doled out points all around, but I'll simply say bonus point to Aaron for the Cocoon reference and bonus point to JJ for making Rox go ooh. So so moving right along then. Rox, this one's for you. Fingers on buzzers, everyone else. Rox, it's August 27th, 1883.
August 27th, 1883.
You find yourself on a package tour that has a long layover on the island of Krakatoa.
Ooh. Wow. So I guess I went there by tramp steamer, right?
Yes, you were probably hanging out with tramps. That's correct.
Okay. So we already have a plan B on that day. I'm sure we've already been feeling rumbling. So I gather my tramp friends and we gather up all the crates and coconut palm trees. So we start up making up our own raft to get away from Krakatoa. But before that, I'm sure we're going to be there for the big explosion, because we all know that with Krakatoa caused a great atmospheric, almost a nuclear winter for that time period. That is when Edvard Munch painted The Scream. So I'm going to make sure I take photos with my Hipstamatic, so it's really cool and fascinating, so that I can sell that later on, saying, see, here's the great explosion of Krakatoa. So I'm going to utilize this time frame to make up artistic money for the future. So, but in between all this, we will be creating a raft with me and my tramp friends, and we'll be pushing off.
Okay. Anyone want to weigh in on that?
I do have a question for Rox.
Yes, John.
Buzz, John, buzz. You have buzzers for a reason.
Oh, Rox.
Yes.
What are you doing with the gypsies and thieves?
Oh, we're leaving them there. They've already stole from the tramps. Hmm. We're going to leave them there. I'm not really curious.
Curiosity is fine. We are trying to solve problems.
You know,
go ahead. Go ahead, JJ.
Well, okay. So if this is in the Sunday Straits, I mean, I know that I was thinking that there was a good chance that it was going to actually explode hot fudge as opposed to lava. So what were your plans for the instances of hot fudge?
Ooh, well, coconut and fudge. Yes, we can make a new. Oh my gosh, we're making Mounds candy for the future, and I will own Peter Paul. See, and then I'll go ahead.
Yes, John.
I do not believe he said it was dark fudge, so therefore, well, then I guess milk
almond
fudge.
Joy.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say hot eruption. That was it.
Yeah, yes, John.
There is another problem with Rox's solution, the Almond Joy solution. I do not believe there is any mention of almonds on Krakatoa. In fact, I don't even believe they're native to Krakatoa.
Okay.
Can I just say, calling everything Krakatoa is very racist. And again, this podcast has proven itself to be of an issue in that area. Thank you.
Playing the racist card twice? Anyway, yes. JJ, you buzzed
in. I was just going to point out that there's really no danger of this particular eruption because Eddie Van Halen hasn't been born yet.
And on that note, we'll end.
Ouch.
Oh, my. I doled out, I believe it was, John, I think you got an extra point there for correcting Rox in regards to candy, which is very bold. Now, moving on. JJ, here is your problem to solve. You picked the wrong place to nap on the submarine. Turns out it was the torpedo tube, and they've just fired you at the enemy.
Well, the first thing I would think to do, of course, just because of my particular nature, is I'd probably start humming the Superman theme, because when are you going to fly that fast? Really, the nice thing about going through water that quickly is that you don't have time to realize that you're not breathing, which actually is a known cause for rapid evolution. So the nice thing is about that is, although I just wanted a nap, they actually will turn me into Aquaman. I mean, that's the secret origin that nobody ever wants to talk about because it's not very interesting and it's not very good to draw, and nobody wants to be Aquaman. So really the problem is, what am I going to do now that I'm stuck talking to fish? And well, the first thing I'm going to do, of course, is protect my hands because I don't want that lame harpoon. I've already got the long hair.
Yes, Rox.
How does Aquaman have sex with a mermaid?
This is a family podcast. I don't know that I can go into specifics.
Yes, Downs Aaron.
Carefully.
Yes.
Yes, John.
I take issue with JJ's framing this as a family podcast. I believe that is incorrect.
That is true. That is true. It is not a family podcast unless your family has real issues.
So I demand, sir, that he answer that question.
Okay, oral sex. You just have sex with the top half.
Wouldn't it be
I thought you were going to give oral sex, and that would be much weirder.
No, I'm a man. I never think that way.
Yes, John.
I just want to point out that he's correct.
How do you pleasure a mermaid?
You take her out to dinner. You buy her some chocolate and flowers.
Not a seafood restaurant, I'm sure.
Of course not.
Oh, okay.
The answer?
Chocolate will melt in the ocean.
What's that, Aaron?
The answer is a DVD of The Notebook.
Oh god. Okay. I think we'll close that one out there, because any mention of The Notebook has a tendency to shut things down. Moving on. Actually, Aaron, moving on to you. Here is your next problem to solve. Aaron, solve this. Bell-bottom jeans.
Okay. Okay, well, the thing about bell-bottom jeans is that they are a bell-bottom, but they are no bell. And I think that was the one thing missing from them in fashion in the years. And everybody loves cats nowadays, like lolcats, they go crazy for them. Gotta get them kittens. Well, let's all be cats and add bells to the bottom of bell bottoms. And then so when you walk around, not only do you make your own kind of fun jingle, but you can also pretend that you're a cat. And I think that would be popular nowadays with the kids, so I'm told. Also, if you put a face of Justin Bieber on one of them as well, I think that might sell a few copies.
I think I heard JJ's screwdriver. Yes, JJ.
Yes. Well, the problem is, Aaron, since I have just become Aquaman, how am I supposed to become a cat because cats hate water? You're leaving me out of your solution.
Well, yeah. But, you know, like Hitler, not everybody's entitled to be part of it.
Oh, you racist.
Wow. Rox, yes.
I believe in the fashion of everybody wearing bells is you're going to put a lot of ninjas out of jobs.
Well, when did ninjas ever wear bell bottoms in the first place?
You don't in the 14th century.
Really?
Yeah.
I can only imagine them tripping up over them at some point.
They would wrap it around
ninjas
their
were
legs.
No, ninjas were hipsters for always. They always had the tight jeans on.
You don't know. They were kind of loose.
They had big, thick black glasses over their like bandanas and shit.
No. No.
I'm telling you.
They
hipster
no.
ninjas. They had black like suspenders on as well. You couldn't tell. It was all black.
And next you're going to say they had bow ties.
As if they didn't. That's how they strangle people. They quickly whip off the bow tie and like strangle the guy from behind.
Yes, JJ.
The problem is I don't see how you could possibly wear a fez with a ninja outfit. And everybody knows if you have a bow tie, you have to wear a fez at some point.
Well, that's why you're no ninja.
Ah.
So we'll end that one, and I will say bonus points have been given for both the ninjas were hipsters, and that's why you're no ninja. So, which should be in every good podcast. All right, so excellent. That is the end of that round, and I'll give myself a moment to tally the scores. We have John in a commanding fourth place with 18 points. We have Aaron and Rox tied with 20 points, and JJ is currently in the lead with 21. So, moving on to round 4, which is our group round. Now, here's how it works. You will be given a complicated problem to solve. Now, as part of your solution, you should mention someone else you are going to contact for help. At that point, I will say freeze, and I will assign that role to someone else on the panel. You must then work together to solve the problem. Now, please note, bonus points will be given if you can actually work towards resolution instead of utter and complete doom. So
we didn't do so well last time, did we?
In the pilot, this round tends to go badly. So therefore, bonus points given if you can actually solve the problem. So, Rox, we'll start with you. You are Eve in the Garden of Eden, and there's some snake that wants you to eat an apple. Now, please note, Aaron, you are going to start off as the snake. Begin. Okay. And don't even say that's racist. I don't even want to hear it. So go.
Just because we don't have them anymore, bastard.
Shut up. Someone begin.
Rox should start this one.
Oh, it's a lovely day here in the garden. Always in the garden. I wish something would occur.
So do the rest of us.
Sorry, I've got kind of lisp. Excuse me.
Why, hello.
Hello, Eve.
Hello, Sylvester. How are you?
Can I entice you to some magazines that I'm selling today?
I'm sorry. What? Magazines?
Yes, I'm selling magazines.
Oh, really? What kind? Do you have people?
No people. I don't like people. But I have this wonderful magazine that will give you lots of knowledge and lots of cool naked people inside. No, actually, you're already naked. Never mind.
I'm already naked, yeah.
Lots of clothes, people. They can wear clothes now, too.
Oh, what are clothes?
Well, clothes... Well, sometimes they wear my skin, on their shoes, which is not very nice.
Shoes!
We don't like those.
I want shoes. Where do I get these shoes?
Well, see that tree over there?
Yes, that big tree, yes.
Yes, the one that big knobby nose doesn't want you to eat from. Well, I think you should eat from it, because I know better. Look at me, I'm a snake. All knowledge comes from me.
Does it really?
No, but hey, you're the first person that you've ever spoken to. Surely you must, you know.
Yes, I know. Adam doesn't say anything after we do stuff. He goes off and sleeps.
Freeze. John, enter, and you are Adam.
Oh, I'm done with my nap. You ready again?
I'm always ready, but you always fall asleep.
Listen, guys, you've got to see the tree. You got to eat from the tree. Eat from the tree. I mean,
yeah,
I'm the devil. I'm not that clever. I don't have a great way of making you do this. Nobody ever said I was super smart. Just eat from the fucking tree.
Surely,
is it a Crispin? Or is it a Macintosh? What kind of apple tree is it?
But no, guys, seriously, you're like born like 10 minutes ago. Like, what can you get your head around this?
It's
a tree. Eat the tree.
Wait a minute. You told us to eat the apple. Now you're telling eat the tree. What do you want us to do?
I never mentioned an apple. Gee, God, seriously, God, why couldn't you have made them smarter than this? What's going on? Listen, right. Guys, look.
Freeze, JJ, you're God.
Oh, gee.
Wow, he gets the best.
Nobby Nose is here. Keep stomp. We weren't talking about it.
I hated when you call me Nobby Nose.
Well,
I am as I'm.
Smaller nose.
God, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Why did you make that snake speak and not the other one?
He plays chess with me and I get bored.
God, I have a big question. Why is it Adam always falls asleep after we do it?
Because he's a man, he doesn't think that way.
Can I have another one?
Did I tell you? I told you there was a 30-day return policy. You've been alive for 40 days. Okay, look.
That's not true.
And 40 nights.
Lilith.
I'm just going to sneak away here. Nothing. We haven't been talking, okay?
Oh, you know, God, the snake Sylvester said something about shoes. Can we have some shoes?
You know about shoes?
No.
Shoes is where it all goes wrong for women. Adam, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. That's it. You two, get out of my garden. Get out. This is my garden.
I mean,
all I want is a nice pair of pumps.
Stop.
Curse Milano or whatever those.
Oh my gosh, you can't even pronounce it. It's Manolo Blahnks.
Exactly, because I'm a guy.
Wow.
Okay. Time.
I don't know what we just did. We did something.
This is what we've done. We've rewritten the Bible. Unlike the apples, it was shoes that kicked us out of the garden.
Literally.
To Genesis.
Yeah, what I love was the fact that the problem of actually having to eat the apple was never really addressed. It was more Adam and Eve's sex life. So no bonus points for solving the problem, but bonus points for offending someone somewhere. So we'll move on to the next scenario. John, here is your scenario.
Awesome.
You are on the plane. You're about to defuse the bomb, but there are four colored wires and you don't know which one to cut.
Why is it with the racism?
Most racist podcast ever.
In your time, John.
All right. Damn. Let's see. All right. So what I need to do is I need to... damn, where's that snake from the last one? There's always snakes on the plane except for when you need them. All right.
Freeze. Aaron, you're Sylvester the Snake again. And
with my brilliant voice.
with you did get bonus points for spinning all over your setup at home. So, but yes, you're Sylvester the Snake, and you can crawl up and help or hinder as you see fit because you are Satan.
Hey, buddy, that's not the green wire. That's my tail.
Oh, sorry. Oh, it's a mother snake.
Listen, I never knew your mother. I never went near her. Don't fucking call me that, okay?
Dude, you're talking. All right, so cool. All right, so we have four. One, two. Oh, damn, I don't know how to count either. That's going to be a problem.
Well, here, right. Take this apple. It will give you lots of knowledge.
I don't need an apple. I just had sex. One, two, three. Okay, so I got a yellow wire, a green wire, a red wire. I'm colorblind.
Again, that's my tail. Leave it alone.
How do I figure
out... If you're going to cut it, stop rubbing it like that. Or maybe keep rubbing it. I don't know. Nice.
If only I had someone here who wasn't colorblind.
If only I had hands so I could cut the wire.
Freeze. JJ, you are someone who isn't colorblind. Go.
And who also has hands.
I just happen to be on this plane, and I am a professional color seer. I work with dogs everywhere. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy when dogs can't cross the light in time. And I am here to help.
Awesome. So I have instructions to not cut the gray wire.
I would call that tail. Gray. That's really more of a chartreuse. Mm. Now, I'd say you have a chartreuse wire, a cyan wire, a mauve wire.
Oh, check out Mr. Fancy Pants. He had three apples this morning.
Hey, back off, man. This is my job. And then you have a black wire that says bomb power.
Bomb power. That certainly doesn't mean anything to me.
No, that's Bob Power. He's sitting in row 3A.
Oh, well, you should definitely cut that one because he's a jerk.
All right, I'm going to cut the second wire.
You're going to cut the mauve wire? Never cut the mauve wire.
I thought you said it was chartreuse.
No, the first wire is chartreuse. The second one was cyan, actually. The third one was mauve.
Which one was person color?
Person was the fourth wire, the Bob Power wire.
Oh, okay.
You guys are screwed. I'm out of here.
Ah, snakes. They always leave you at the last minute.
All right. Well, you know, I'm gonna solve this right now. Okay. This problem and just cut eeny, meeny, miny, mo, Larry, Curly.
Shemp, Curly Joe. Come on.
Shemp, Curly. Okay, so now I'm back to one again. Okay, one. I'm cutting one. Anything happening? Anyone?
Rox, you are Bob Power and you've just died. And time.
I don't know if we solved that.
We didn't die ourselves. We just killed Bob.
Technically, the problem. Let's see. Technically, you didn't know which one to cut, but you cut. Well, no, you didn't solve it. All right. Bonus points for the first time. I never thought we'd ever have callbacks between questions. So. That's new on me. Good Lord. And bonus points for Rocks for a fantastic death scene. Now, moving on to the next one. Aaron, this one's for you. You woke up late and you're trying to leave your apartment, which only has the one front door, and someone has placed an elephant right up against the door and is blocking your exit.
Okay. Dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum. Oh, this door won't open. Oh, okay, so how do I... For some reason, despite the fact that I can't open this door, I seem to already know that there's an elephant on the other side of the door blocking the door. That's handy. How do I move this elephant that I somehow magically know that's on the other side of this door?
You had an apple earlier.
Oh, okay, I see. Where did that voice come from? Man, I've been stuck in this house for far too long. I'm starting to get a little bit of cabin fevery here. Okay, so I'm going to have to call somebody. I'm going to have to call somebody to get rid of this this elephant. I think I'm going to have to call a zookeeper.
All right.
How else did the elephant get here?
Good call. Rox, you're the zookeeper, and Aaron, make the call.
Hello? Hello, hi, Metropolitan Zoo. This is Kathy Bates. How can I help you?
Oh, thank God I got the Metropolitan Zoo. Last time I got the Metropolis Zoo, and that just wasn't working. Yeah, my name is Aaron. I'm stuck inside my house because a magical elephant is on the other side of the door. I'm assuming he must have gotten out of your zoo, because otherwise I don't understand why he'd be here.
Well, considering it's not my zoo, this is Kathy Bates, the actress, and I'm posing as a zookeeper for an upcoming role. What kind of house are you? Is it an apartment or is it a house freestanding?
Well, remember your awesome role in Misery? I love that film, by the way. You were great.
Thank you. I got an Oscar for that.
Oh, I know. I know. I voted for you. I'm actually in the Academy. It's very similar to that house.
Oh, yeah. Can I send you some of my Emmy stuff? Because, you know, I have that new show coming that I'm working on as well.
Well, yeah, I'm actually producing something too at the moment. If you're interested, I mean, we'd love to have you involved. It'd be great.
Well,
all right, freeze, freeze. JJ, you're the elephant.
Okay.
Now you're fattest. This show's getting worse.
Okay. Hello, sir, this is Kathy Bates. Am I speaking to the magical elephant?
I don't know that I'd go so far as to call me magical.
Sir, we're all God's creatures, so we should all be magical to some extent. So anyway, sir, my name's Kathy Bates. I'm an Academy Award-winning actress.
Oh, yes, your scene in About Schmidt was weird.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I was kind of...
Off my lawn, you fat folk.
I'm working on it. So, sir, this gentleman needs to leave, and if you want, I can get you a role in the upcoming Drop Dead Diva show. So if you just move out of the way so this gentleman can leave his house,
I can give
you a part.
Okay, I understand what you're trying to say, and it's a good
thing. I got shit to do, you big-nosed bastard.
First of all,
pay no attention to him.
He's incredibly abusive, and I think he should know that the part that is blocking his door is my hind end. But second...
Yeah, no, it's fat enough to block the whole house.
To find out is... Now... If I were to take this part in Drop Dead Diva, would I get to keep the costumes? And do you have to operate as my manager and take 10%?
Hey, drop that dumbo. No. Get off my house.
Honey, no, I won't. Because you know what? There's a part coming up that they need a magical elephant. And there's a really cool, sparkly headdress that you can have. I will not take the 10% because you know what? It's a great show. And I work at cost for a spot on this show.
No, so, Kathy Bates, this is taking too long. I'm going to call Meryl Streep. This is getting ridiculous.
Freeze. John, you're Meryl Streep. And... Make the call, Aaron.
Hello. Why does my phone keep ringing?
Hi, Meryl Streep. I'm calling you on my mobile because on my landline I have Kathy Bates on the phone, and in my front door I have a giant elephant trying to argue for.
Meryl, it's me, Kathy Bates. How are you?
Yeah. No. Hold on. I'm talking right now. Now, Meryl. I think if you came to my house, you'd scare away the elephant with your face. And I really need to get to work. So could you pop around and do this? Because Kathy Bates is you know, just not working out right now.
Well, as we know, I do have friends in various places.
So do I, Meryl. So do I.
Oh, hey, Kathy.
How are you? You know, we need to go to Le Cirque next week. So anyway, I was thinking, I have this part coming up in Drop Dead Diva. It is scale.
Okay, hold on. I need to leave my house. Could you stop, like, having contract negotiations?
We're trying to, because we have this magnificent talking elephant, of which, sir, you're not taking really care of. Apparently, he's saying you are abusive. And you know what? Meryl and I are part of the ASPCA. And if you'd like, we could call the cops on you for abusing this poor elephant. Am I correct,
sir? You know what? Sorry. I just remembered I have a back door to the house. I'm going to go use the back door. I'll see you guys later.
I will do anything for you and Meryl. So, sure, I will go with you. First, I'll go for a walk.
I was about to call Timothy, my mouse friend.
Oh no, he's trying out for that new Templeton, for that new Charlotte's Web. He's in Tahiti now.
Okay,
how are you still all talking on the phone after I've left the house?
Time
magic,
winter, darling.
Time. So, definite bonus points there for John's dead on impersonation of Meryl Streep. That was eerie. all right, so we'll move on to the next one. Next one is as follows. JJ, this is for you. A golem comprised entirely of jello pudding has achieved sentience and is rampaging through your college campus.
Whoa. There's a golem made out of complete jello that's rampaging my college campus. That's amazing. And I just so happen to have a kegger coming up this weekend. So what I need to do is call my college buddies, because we're totally going to chop this thing up for jello shots. It's going to save us a fortune. Here, let me call up.
Okay. How many are you calling?
I was going to call up my buddy Tim.
All right. In that case, Aaron, you are Tim. Make the call.
Hello?
Hey, Tim. Guess what?
Dude.
Man? Yeah. Guess what?
What?
You know how we were totally going to go shopping later, and we were going to buy a bunch of jello?
Well, I was going to steal some, but yeah, whatever.
Well, guess what, man? You don't even have to steal it, because there's this giant green freaking monster that's totally going through the common grounds right now, man.
Dude, the Hulk's attacking the college?
No, he's made out of jello, man. We totally need to capture him and turn him into shots.
Dude, did you touch the brown bag again? Because I fucking told you, not before 12.
Look, man, I know you live right off the common grounds. Look out your freaking window.
All right, hold on. Let me put on some pants.
You don't have to put on pants to look out your window. How many times do I have to tell you that?
Well, you know, you're talking about jiggly monsters. I didn't want to say anyone to see my jiggly monster.
You wish.
Dude, what the fuck?
I told you, man. It's totally there, man. Okay, so we totally need to grab it, man.
Dude, are we talking about my jiggly monster or that jiggly monster?
Whichever one. It'll get us through the afternoon, but totally bring a rope and come out here. We gotta grab this thing, man.
Oh, man, this is like San Diego 94 all over again.
Right. Freeze. John, you are the jiggly monster. The golem. Sorry.
Big jiggly dude, I swear if you come with me, we won't harm you.
Totally.
Who's that? Who said something? What?
Dude, down here. The guy wearing flannel.
Hi, Precious.
Dude, I'm digging your vibe. I think me, you, and my dudester here need to, like, hang out. We got some chicks coming later. I think they're going to like you. I think they're going to want you on their bod.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I really do have to finish my rampage over here.
Oh, dude. Rampaging is so 2011, man.
No, man, wait, don't harsh her buzz.
I meant 2010. Anyway.
Dude, who wants to rampage anymore, man? This is the 90s. Yeah. Nobody does that shit.
Excuse me. I'm not sure you're clear on that. It's actually 2000s.
What?
Whatever, dude. No, seriously, man. Rampaging, man. That's for like... That's
dude,
for, like,
we've been in college a long time.
I know, man. We should really take a class sometime. No, but, you know, rampaging is for, like, you know, protesters, and they're not getting taken seriously at all, man.
Dude, occupy our party.
Totally.
All right. First of all, I have one question. Can I invite someone?
Yeah. Are
they cute?
It's my girlfriend, Sarah.
Sure.
Is your girlfriend, Sarah, open to partying with groups, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Does she like to go mermaid style?
She's made completely of pudding.
Oh,
dude, I've got a stoner boner right now.
Hold on, let me call her real quick.
Totally.
Old-fashioned phone to call with them with.
All our phones are in the 80s.
Rox, you can see where this is going.
Hello, this is Sarah.
Dude, I totally hear his phone.
Hello. Is Sarah. That you, Maury?
Yes,
Maury, where are you?
I'm out looking for my ring.
Your ring? What do you mean?
I'm rampaging on the campus again looking for my ring. Someone took and these precious students over here are trying to find me.
You know, Maury, you don't work with using a ring. There's a piece of paper in your head. You don't need a ring. What's your wish? You're looking for the wrong thing again.
Dude, I've totally had a piece of paper that went to my head before. Whoa.
So what are you calling for? Are we on for later?
Well, there's been a change in plans, darling. We're going to a kegger.
As a party?
Yes.
Oh, I'd love to go to a party.
Not potty, party.
We're Jewish. This is how we pronounce, you know?
Dude, this is the most work I've ever done for a Jell-O shot.
No kidding, man.
What do they mean about a Jell-O shot? Who are you talking to?
These nice little precious boys.
Hey, dude, put her on to us. Put her on to us.
Yeah.
Speakerphone.
Oh, okay.
Hello? Who else am I talking to?
Hey, big, giant, jiggly dudes, girl.
My name is
Max. We want a party.
A party? Okay, I can get some gefilte fish. And I think I can get
some... Is gefilte fish an upper or a downer?
It's a good appetizer.
Okay, totally, man. But really, all you got to bring is yourselves. We got everything we need.
What do you mean?
I got a 6-foot bong and some Jimi Hendrix on the CD player. We are set.
Yeah.
Are you guys high? You know, you shouldn't be really doing that, you know, because it does ruin your brain cells.
Well, dude, either we're really high right now or we're talking to a 60-foot Jell-O monster.
And
you
we're talking
make
on the phone to a pudding monster.
Well, yeah, I'm really sweet that way.
So you two totally got to show up. The party's at 7.
Okay, we're at 7 o'clock. Okay, Maury, you need to go to the store. I'll meet you at the store, and then we'll go to this party, okay?
Sweetheart, I didn't know it was so late. 7 o'clock seems very late for me.
No, you did your studying early, didn't you? It's Friday. Let's go to this party. You never take me anywhere.
Dude, she's a harsh.
Oh my gosh.
Guys, I gotta go. She's obviously in a mood.
We're okay, gonna go to the party.
You take care of yourself, but you remember where we live, man.
Shop for these guys.
Time.
Pudding lady's a bitch.
You totally stopped the rampage time.
Yes, congratulations.
I'm gonna go to the damn party.
The only real solution we've had was provided by a pair of stoners. Let that be a lesson to you, kids. Don't let that be a lesson to you at all. Or maybe something. So that was terrifying. Bonus points to Rox for I didn't expect someone to actually pick up on the Jewish origins of the golem legend there.
Duh.
Which, yeah, I should have known. What was I thinking?
Completely different golem legend.
I know.
That's Gollum, and nobody wants him.
Oh!
Me. Gosh.
Bonus points to John for incredulity. All right, so that brings us to the end of the round and the end of the show. And if I take a moment to total up the scores, I see that we have Rox is in third place with 32 points. We have JJ and John tied for second place with 34 points. And that puts Aaron in first place in the winner with an unassailable 36 points. So we say, congratulations, Aaron.
I win, bitches.
You totally did it, man.
Whatever.
All right, so thank you for listening to Solve This. Now, if you have a problem that's been bothering you and you'd like to present it to a panel of experts for the amusement of ourselves and the world, then send that problem in an email to solvethis@needcoffee.com. So until next time, on behalf of Aaron Poole, J.J. Hawkins, Rockus Spatzhouse, and John Boutel, this is me, Widget Walls, saying goodbye. So, goodbye!
Goodbye!
Peace!
I see what you did there with the comedy.